B-Pod Studios.
This is where Boston sports fans start their day.
Oh, now, focus.
With Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
From a logistics standpoint, there really are not many teams actually giving signals anymore either. Maybe substitution patterns, you could get the body language of a head coach, but this is not like years ago where you're signaling things in. Calls come in through the headset now, but I do get the same sense that the league is inclined to believe the Patriots' explanation. But obviously, Tom, that doesn't necessarily mean the Patriots are off the hook. They did admit that they did not alert the Bengals. They didn't alert the NFL. Clearly, there was, at the least, a miscommunication here, which would lead me to believe, based on the people I've spoken with, that if they got penalized, it'd be something along the lines of a fine.
It's good. Another one bites dust. Yeah.
How do you not like this song? Like, this was a good Queen song. I mean, Queen had a lot of good songs. They had a lot of bad songs, but this was a good one. I think it's just you've heard it so many times.
Picture the ugly bassist. Yeah. They're giving him too much room. Let's go. As opposed to Freddie Mercury, who is the definition of beautiful. This hour with Ted Johnson is brought to you by Boston Prolotherapy. Do what Ted did and receive a short course of injections to help repair painful, damaged joints without surgery. Online at prolotherapy.com. Ted's going to be in studio with us for an hour. Ted, what is the compulsion with the Patriots to need to cheat? What is the compulsion there?
I think it's just kind of Bill's nature, you know, to try and I don't want to say cheat, but find ways to best, you know, get information that can help his team win. I think that's who he is. That's the way he's always been. I don't know if it's as bad as it maybe was back in the day, but I mean, you always hear these stories of coaches of, you know, trying to, you know, get every advantage they can, you know, sending, you know, people to, their opponent's practices and peeking in on practices and filming this and filming that. But I think Bill's maybe taking it to another level to some degree. And so, you know, there's something he'd always say in meetings that always just, it resonates with me. And I just remember him saying this all the time. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. He used to say that all the time. So the more information you have, the more beneficial it is for you. And so he's all about collecting evidence. And you know, Bill believes in winning. You know, you can win the game on the margins. You know, just the little details all add up to, you know, a victory for you. So every piece of information is critical in as far as the, you know, deciding the outcome of these games. So that's just Bill's nature, is to want to always try and accumulate information, to help his team win.
And then feed it to Ernie, and then Ernie spits it out and makes it palatable. So the one argument and the one thing that we've been hearing a lot of lately is, with today's game, there's no advantage to watching the sidelines because of the way plays are called. You know, because before it was, you'd look for signals, hand signals, and things like that, whereas the game has changed. Is there an advantage now that you can get from watching the game, from when you played, and seeing how things are handled on the sidelines now? Is there an advantage to watching a coach and the assistant coaches on the sideline and monitoring what they do?
See, it's hard for me to think that there is any real advantage. I'm trying to rack my brain about what is it if I just sat and watched the sideline, you know, of a game. What can I glean from that? What can I learn from that that's going to help me, you know, in real time, you know, make a call that's going to help us, you know, give us an advantage? I just don't see what that is. However, we're not in Bill Belichick's brain and Ernie Adams' brains. I would love to ask those guys that question, because obviously they think there is something to glean from watching behaviors on the sidelines. And so we all know that Bill likes to watch what the other you know,
coach is doing.
The coach
right?
is doing on the sideline.
Oh, I mean, my favorite is the end of the Super Bowl last year. Like, where's Sean? Where's Sean? He was looking for Sean McVay. Yeah. And then there's, of course, the Pete Carroll one where he didn't call the timeout before the Malcolm Butler play. And those are two of the most famous incidents that I can think of.
Someone told us about, like, special teams, too, that if you can see a coach, it's not normally in special teams.
Go back in time, too. Yeah. Remember the wide left against Buffalo? I don't think they called the timeout before that play either. But look at the history. He's always wondering what the coaches are doing on the sidelines. So I wonder if there's something there.
Yes, something has got to be there.
Well, Ted, didn't you've told me before that you've played defense before and knew signals and calls because they told you that during meetings, right?
Well, there's you would get like, have we gotten a play sheet on like what the audibles were and stuff like that?
Yeah, but that's something you can hear on the broadcast.
Something you hear on the broadcast, and it's also if you have somebody on a team that just played the opponent that you're about to play and is willing to maybe share, hey, this is what we heard.
Yeah.
This was their cadence. This meant, you know, this sign meant, you know, that this play was going to happen.
Yeah.
Then they'll share that information with Bill, and then he gives it to us, and then we try to use it to our advantage.
My favorite was when you were telling me the time how you guys watched a tape from, I think it was the week before, and the team had not even changed their calls. Like you knew
the Miami Dolphins. Yeah. Dan Marino.
Couldn't believe it.
Yeah. We played the Miami Dolphins in Miami. I believe it was 1997. We played them in the last game of the regular season, and we won that game to get a chance to play the Miami Dolphins the following week in the wild card weekend at home. And Dan did not change the audible. And it was amazing. One of my best, absolute best friends ever, Todd Collins, who played right next to me. Todd Collins, he was like, Dan does the signal to his receiver as it was going to be a slant. Todd looks over at me. He's like, it's a slant. It's a slant. And you know what Todd Collins does?
Pick six.
Pick six on the slant.
Yeah.
And takes it to the house. So that was just something that we picked up from the week before that we just, that's the exact same call he did last week.
Yeah.
So use it to our advantage. But I think that's, when you ask me that question, Joe, it's you ask other coaches that you're friendly with, hey, what did you see in the game? What signals did they use? And some coaches are willing to share some of that, you know?
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out, you guys, and I don't know, you know, is this a big story? Because, if you peruse the different websites and you watch TV and you see the different shows outside of New England, nobody's talking about this. And I
don't know about that, man. I mean, all the major publications are writing articles. It was on Good Morning America yesterday.
Was it really?
Yes.
Okay, then I'm missing it then. I haven't gotten a feel from a national standpoint that this is a big story.
It is, and I'm not trying to blow it up. I just, the one thing I find fascinating about the whole thing is that, and I was telling Fred this earlier, I would love to sit here and defend the stuff that they were doing, but I mean, it almost seems every defense they throw out there, there's a hole in it. It's like, oh, these guys were independent contractors. Well, no, one of the guys was a full-time employee. Well, they weren't informed before they went there. Well, now we know the scout was standing there with them when they were filming. And if there's one guy that would know the rules, 1,000%, it's the scout. And then, you know, at first when they release a statement, it was, oh, there's no footage of the sidelines. And then time goes by and they release a statement that says, oh, yeah, there was footage of the sidelines. It's just a situation where as much as the Patriots keep trying to put things out there and save face, every time they do, there's a hole in it that you just can't ignore. And if you're a Patriots fan, you've got to be upset because at best, their admitted incompetence could cost them something as bad as a pick.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't see, that's the other thing is that if you're the NFL, let's say you're the NFL, and even if you really like Robert Kraft, and even if you're not getting pressure from other owners like they did during Deflategate to come down hard on them, you have to take a look at what they were punished for the first time and say, this is the second infraction. Even if we kind of believe that this was all a mistake, they've been warned about this before. They've been fined about this before. Isn't the way it usually works, they make it a worse penalty than the first time?
Yeah, and Cincinnati's BS about the whole thing.
And that's and Cincinnati's angry. And that's the one thing is like as much as you want to defend these guys, if you're a Patriots fan, you have to be pissed at best that they're incompetent.
All right, we have to break.
I have thoughts on that, though, Rich.
Okay, I would like to hear your thoughts.
Well,
I also want to talk to you a little bit about the Belichick and Saban thing. Did you watch it last night? Okay, that's right, because I want to bring up something that he mentioned that I thought you would be an expert on.
Okay.
All right, so Ted will try to defend the undefensible cheating that was going on with your New England Patriots, so we'll be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub, Toucher and Rich.
At 5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Now that the fire alarm went off yesterday, they've again turned off the air conditioning.
Yeah, it was like super hot.
It's sweaty.
Yeah. It's 75 degrees in this room. All right, so Ted, what was it you wanted to expound upon?
I guess it's...
I ended by saying that I thought that at best, like if you're a Patriots fan,
yes,
then you should be pissed off that the incompetence. Like if you believe everything that the Patriots did, like their incompetence, and if you totally believe that they just didn't inform this film crew that you can't film, and it ends up costing them, you know, a pick or something like that, then you should be pissed as a Patriots fan. I hope that it's going to be just a fine, and this will all go away. And if it does, then that says something about where things stand amongst the owners about the at that point. It's almost like, hey, remember that solid that you did for Bill Belichick during Spygate, Roger Goodell? We think you made up for it when you went hard on them in Deflategate.
Right.
And it's all, everything's cool, hands are clean, because normally what you would, if you're a rational human being and this was any other team, it should be just a fine.
Right.
But it's the Patriots.
Right.
And that's why, you know, usually when you get in trouble for something the second time, the penalty is worse than the first.
Yeah, I think the point I wanted to make was, you talk about people who should be pissed off. Who are the kind of... Who are the people that would maybe be the most upset about this? I don't know if it's the fans, but I feel like the two kind of entities that maybe would maybe be the most upset about this, I feel like Robert Kraft has to be like really upset with this.
Sure.
Because then he came down on Bill pretty hard on the first thing, right? I mean, he came down hard. He was not happy with Spygate and all that came from that, and all the bad publicity.
What was this? Then did you get any kind of advantage? And he goes, not much. No. Then you're a real jerk,
right?
Or something like that.
So he came out of a meeting yesterday with Roger Goodell,
was
reported he did have a comment to the cameras when asked about it, and I forget exactly what it was.
It was, you know everything you should know, and he was walking out with Roger Goodell, and someone asked him about the video thing, and he goes, you know everything you should know, and walked away.
I don't know why I hear that, and I just go, I don't know. That sounds like somebody who's upset.
No, you're pissed. You know, this is something that anytime they have to bring up the blemishes of your past, you don't like it.
But here's the thing, Rich, is I talked to a lot of my former teammates. So I'm thinking a lot of my former teammates, and I haven't talked to the current, I don't talk to the current players, but I'm feeling that they feel the same way. There's a lot of guys that played in the NFL that feel like my Super Bowls are tainted. They feel like that maybe I don't, you know, the teams I played on don't deserve, you know, those championships based on all this. I mean, there's a lot of guys on the Steelers that think that, you know, we won our games, you know, unfairly. And maybe, you know, that we knew the plays. And so a lot of the Steelers in the AFC championship game in 2004 claim that, you know, we knew the plays. And that's the upsetting thing for maybe.
It's a good point, man. As a player, that's got to suck.
You know, that's, you know, yeah.
I want the Marshall Faulk Super Bowl, right? I mean, it was
same thing.
He's still bitching about it, right?
Know? And so for right or wrong, there's players, guys that I played against, that think that I didn't win my Super Bowls fairly. And so that's the one thing. So Robert Kraft has to feel like kind of it's a blemish on his brand that, you know, that you had to do things that weren't above board to win these championships. So it taints, you know, what we've been able to accomplish here. And that kind of robs us of, you know, I think, our full glory. That's the one thing that some guys feel that way.
Yeah.
Former teammates.
It's a great point.
And they've said that to me. I know that.
What about current teammates? What do you think Brady thinks about this? And the only reason I ask about Brady is just because of everything that's been leading up to the question as to whether or not he's going to stay here. Is this just another thing?
I don't know. I don't think that maybe, you know, the only thing I can think maybe Tom has an issue with is for the reason I just gave.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't think it's I don't think he thinks anything of it. But I heard you guys, just to get on the Tom Brady thing real quick, I thought it was interesting to see. I feel like the best buddies thing is there's something to that.
Yeah,
you know,
if you put best buddies.
If you put everything together,
it
doesn't look good.
You know, it's kind of one of those. I'm fascinated by what's going to happen this offseason because, you know, it's Tom putting his house up for sale is a clear indication. That's his. I'm not kidding around, guys. I really will go on somewhere else. I feel like it's his move to show you. You don't believe that I actually will. You know, I wanted to get, I wanted to take the franchise tag out. So that's it. That was his chess move to what they were offering him. And then it's like, oh, I'm going to put my house up for sale just to show you. I'm not kidding around. I will leave, you guys. And then I feel like maybe stepping down from best buddies is another kind of, you see, I'm showing you I am not messing around. And so it's this game of chicken that Tom's always lost. He's always been the first one to blink in that. He's actually setting it up as if to say, I'm not blinking this time.
I just think that there's also part of it that, you know, he wanted money. He wanted that whole Drew Brees type contract. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to pay you guaranteed money, $25 to $30 million for a couple years. And what makes you think after this season, with the numbers that he's pulled up, that all of a sudden, the Patriots are just going to have a different philosophy on how much they should pay him. Like, if they were going to pay him, they were going to pay him this past season, not after this season. I mean, he just won a Super Bowl, and they didn't pay him. Mm-hmm. So even if he goes on to win a Super Bowl, they're not going to – like, nothing's going to change their mind if they didn't do it last year. So if that's the money that he wants, the only way now that I see that he would stay here is if – he found out that around the league there just wasn't the kind of interest that he'd want, which is, by the way, unbelievable. There's going to be teams they're going to roll down the red carpet. They're going to change their coaching staff just for him. They're going to bring in Josh McDaniels. They'll do anything to get Tom Brady for 2 years, especially a city like Los Angeles that really, truly needs asses in seats. So I'm with you on that. I just wonder if, I mean.
I think Tom's really got, I think, craft. He's putting it to craft more than I think than he ever has, in the sense that he's really going to pressure, in his way, Kraft to actually step in one time and say, you know what, Bill, you have to give Tom what he wants. Because I don't think it's – Mr. Kraft is all about legacy. He's all about, perception, and he wants – you know, he cares about his legacy so much. I mean, we all do, but in the fact that he was – the impetus for Bill Parcells leaving is what I'm told is never set well. Like, the people blame him for the departure of Bill Parcells back in 1996. That haunts him. That he was the reason that Bill Parcells chose to leave and go to the Jets. That's never set well, and that he doesn't want to be the reason that Tom Brady leaves after all these years. So he doesn't want that on his legacy.
How about this? Is Tom Brady worth that contract that he wants?
No.
I mean, the reason I would say yes, he is because I got nothing waiting in the pipes right now. I mean, you got Stidham and that's it. Now, you could make a move and try to get another free agent, but at that point, just keep Brady. What he wants more than likely is 2 to 3 years. He's 42. He wants to play until he's 45. I don't know if you can.
But they'll be late in the draft or lose a draft pick anyway.
Yeah. Is it even worth giving him that money? Just from a football standpoint, even if Tom Brady's pulling his arm and he's truly going to leave and Robert Kraft knows he really has to do everything to keep him, is it worth it?
Yeah. I mean, what are they going to overpay him? You know, 10, 15 million? Like, you know, not maybe per year, but just, you know, maybe they if he wants 30 million a year, and they think he's worth 25, and he wants a 2-year deal. Who cares if you overpay him 10, 12, 15 million?
And look at the Peyton Manning things for years, too, if you look at it. Like the, in my opinion, though, I think they paid Brady this year. Like, they gave him the $26 million. They didn't have to. Last year, he signed a deal based off incentives and didn't hit it.
Yeah.
So if statistics really matter, he's not hitting the statistics. Like, that's a fact. So there's no way he's going to make $20 million in New England next year.
And is it Kraft? Is it so? Kraft steps in this particular case and overrules Belichick.
I mean, that's what happened.
What's already happened this offseason, right? They've already probably already Kraft doesn't want to give him the deal. They want to go year to year.
Well, no, that's what I'm asking Ted, though. Is this one of the players that Kraft overrules Belichick?
This is my feeling is that Kraft has had so much involvement with Belichick as far as trying to smooth things over and trying to, hey, can we just work this out? Or at least Kraft and Tom have been trying, you know, kind of, he's been massaging Tom for years to try and just accept, a deal that maybe he isn't quite comfortable with. I think this is a year where, you know, I think because Tom's showing things, doing things that he's never done, he's more irritable. You can tell the contract's on his mind. He's, he's selling his house. He's stepping down from a charity that he's been a part of for 15 years here locally. That it's like, you know, the first time I think Tom's like showing, you're standing up for himself and showing that, you know what, I am not messing around this time. This time you're not going to be able to just, smooth talk me and to accept a deal that I'm not comfortable with. So I feel like this is the time.
Do you think Belichick would want him at that price?
No.
Okay. So you're saying that if he gets it, that's a Kraft decision.
Yep. That's it. Totally.
And does that piss Belichick off?
Yes. Yes. Okay. My feeling is there's, I know for a fact that Kraft is intervened on certain personnel decisions,
sure.
And that it probably has not. I don't know from Belichick's side how that conversation goes or what he thinks, but my feeling is Belichick doesn't like anybody. I don't care if it's even the owner of the team he works for telling him what to do.
So if you believe that Belichick and is a football genius, and I guess he talked to Nick Saban yesterday, and they proved that they're at least huge nerds. That, if they go against his wishes, maybe that's not in the best interest of the organization. Ted Johnson is in studio. We will continue to talk to him. Here are the headlines.
This is where Boston talks sports. Toucher and Rich, Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Danny at 5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Kyle Van Noy, well, I don't have a problem with him personally, like Felger does. He did very, 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 very much annoy me, as he did to McCourty, when he said that he was calling the defense the boogeyman. And then when Sam Darnold, 22, said that he was seeing ghosts out there, he went, really? I guess it is true. We are the boogeyman. And then Devin McCourty was asked about it and said, well, this is stopping right now.
He did not like the nickname.
No, because
sure.
It is corny as hell. But what is this, Rich? What did he do?
I wanted Ted to be here for this because this is an interesting angle that only somebody who has played the game would be able to either empathize or be able to criticize what Kyle Van Noy says here. So Kyle Van Noy, we saw what happened during the first half of the game this past weekend. As they're leaving the field, the crowd is booing the team. Now, the later boos came for the refs. We all agree with that. But those boos at halftime, there was nothing that the refs had done up to that point.
No,
that made
they were booing. They were booing.
They were
the
booing
Patriots.
The team.
Yeah, no question.
So Kyle Van Noy was on Quick Slants with Tommy Curran, and Tommy Curran, he didn't ask about it. It was just brought up. I want you to listen to this clip, and I want to get your take as an ex-player as to whether you think Kyle Van Noy is in the right for saying this. Here we go, Fred. You got it right there.
All right. Here we go. Kyle Van Noy.
Straight from the Detroit Lions. Here we go.
That was a spirited football game. Absolutely had a playoff atmosphere to it, I thought.
Too much booing for me.
Did the booing irritate?
I thought it was disrespectful, but it is what it is. What about your thoughts?
You know, it's funny. There's a few different thoughts. Booing to me means
10-2.
But they're not booing the 10-2 team. They're rejecting the performance that they saw for the first 30 minutes in an "you can do better" tone. So instead of yelling "you can do better," they say "boo, we didn't like that."
Ha 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 ha.
But you hear, you see it and say, man, I've given you guys parades.
No, I'm not going to say me.
Okay, you know, we've given you guys parades.
You know what I mean?
But how do you view it? Because I, in the media, look, I don't like when people bitch about every single thing a team does when they're a 10-2.
Yeah.
Or a 10-3, or this is a disaster, or why can't they get it right?
There you
They'll
go.
Be fine.
All right.
They'll be fine.
There we go. I like that attitude.
But I do understand when people...
positivity. Little cheering.
I get when they reject the product that they have seen so far with a verbal.
Yeah, okay. I mean, yeah.
No, the booing bothered you, I can tell.
No. Why would booing bother?
Because it was the first thing you mentioned.
Well, you asked if it had a playoff atmosphere.
Oh, yeah, they get booed during the playoffs.
Okay.
Well, first of all, and before I know this is for Ted Johnson, but, I mean, dude, you play in Detroit.
I mean, you used to booing?
You should be used to it.
After playing in Detroit?
Yeah, it's a hobby there.
Were you ever booed by your own fan base?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, I played on a 6-10 team. I played on a 5-11 team. And, we've been booed. That is, careful, Kyle, careful. Because that's not typically where you want to go as a player. When you start calling fans out for how they respond to the team, by booing, that's usually something that you want to stay away from as a player, because it usually does not, nothing good comes from that. And so the last thing you want to do is call out the fans for how they react to you. The fans will resent that more times than not. And fans just don't like being told how they're supposed to react to what your team is doing now. I think maybe what happened right before half or right after at the end of the second half was the offense just was not, I mean, it was kind of incompetent, in how they finished that half. And so it might've just been a reaction to how that offensive series ended. Before the half that they were having an issue
but
with.
But he doesn't think that way. By listening to that. He thinks that it was a universal, the entire team, boo, we reject what you guys are doing.
Yeah. I do like Kyle. It's refreshing to hear a guy actually be honest as opposed to what we usually get over there.
That's true.
But you have to be careful. And that's just something that you do not usually even want to touch, is to criticize fans and how they react. Fans don't like being told how they're supposed to supposed to behave.
If I buy a ticket, go after yourself.
And if you heard Brady's reaction, he said fans pay to do what they want to do.
Brady's a pro, obviously, but he knew exactly what to say in that situation. You don't criticize the fans. But
maybe they were saying boogeyman.
Maybe that's what they were saying. However, like Kyle Van Noy, because he doesn't have the filter that a lot of players, and that truly pissed him off.
Yeah.
And I also think that, there was an interesting stat that came out yesterday, and maybe it speaks a little bit to the early season success and the struggles at the end of the season. In weeks 1-7, the Patriots played the easiest schedule of opposing offenses in the NFL. We've known that. We went through the quarterbacks they had to take on. We understand that. San Francisco was second in that. Since week 8, the Patriots have played the hardest schedule of opposing offenses in the NFL, and San Francisco is second. So you've seen how even San Francisco's hit a couple different roadblocks, almost the same journey that the Patriots have been on. So, I still think that defense is excellent, despite, at the beginning of the season, it looked otherworldly. We know what they were playing, but they ended up making the right changes, of course, against the Chiefs, which is a great defense or great offense. We saw what they did against Dallas, which is one of the best offenses in the league.
Unless it was pouring down rain, too, though.
I'll give him that, too.
Unless you're playing the Jets.
But they have a great running game, and so even in the rain, that's
true.
That's one thing that usually is, can stay somewhat even.
I am not giving Dallas any credit at all. You can say what you want about the talent on that team, but they're not good.
One thing that Bob Sosi said on the broadcast.
Dallas isn't good on offense?
Dallas is
not good. They're the number one ranked offense in the league.
No, I get your point, the numbers are
fine, but the numbers are whatever. I've seen them be terrible. I mean, they lost to the Jets.
They lost to the Jets. They lost last week to the Bears.
Yeah, they lost to the Bears. Jets. Yes. What's their record?
6-7. They're tied with the Eagles.
Yeah, they're 6-7. Such a great offense. Yeah.
I will say this, though. Soucy even said on the broadcast, hey, Van Noy, why don't you stop talking to the refs and actually play football?
Yeah.
The linebackers have been getting roasted lately.
Yeah.
And Van Noy's been one of them.
Yeah. It's funny. It's like the Texans were like, they've been the only team that's like finally figured it out on offense. Like, how do you want to exploit the defense for the Patriots? Well, you know, throw to the running backs, and that's usually linebackers are covering, and those are tough covers for those guys. And so they had a lot of success throwing to the running backs against the Patriots. And they historically have had issues, and they finally, that was a team that said, all right, we got this figured out. And so they kind of maybe broke the code a little bit in that respect. But yeah, Kyle is, he's the one guy who's kind of, I think, is maybe vocalizes what they're all thinking. Everyone else is, is the company man, and they say all the canned responses. Kyle, they are a very confident group of guys. They can't say that because it's usually not what Bill likes. But Kyle's like, screw it, I'm gonna be my own man. I mean, the boogeyman thing's coming out. It's like, dude, let the season play out.
right.
Before you start doing that. And I'm a little surprised. I'd love to know. Like, Bill, I could see Bill. The Bill I knew, before Chill Bill. I played for the not Chill Bill.
Yeah. He cut that stuff out.
What is this, Boogie? Are you kidding? he would have something to say.
Sure.
Because it just from the optics of it looks, it looks a little bit like you're getting way ahead of yourself.
Now, well, all that Kyle being said, I like the fact that he's pissed. Yeah. They should be pissed. And it should get to him, and it should piss him off.
Kyle Van Noy is going to make a tremendous amount of money.
$1 zillion.
He's not going to be any good where he goes.
Why do you think that?
Because he's not that good. Oh, come on!
Are you telling me last season he wasn't good? Are you telling me this season he hasn't been good?
In this defense, he's good.
He's a system guy.
Ted Johnson, do you think Kyle Van Noy in another defense is an above-average linebacker?
In another defense?
Yeah.
Totally bad the game.
Yeah.
Well, come on.
I'll say this.
Above average? Absolutely.
Rich, you never saw him play before he was here.
I'll say it this way.
People can get better.
He got better.
Players can get better as they go in their career.
And how many guys have come out of this defense and then struggled otherwise?
All right. That's the true story.
I'll say this. I think Kyle's will be much better player in this system than in another system.
Yes, thank you.
That's another way.
That's true, but he'll still be an above-average player.
He's not going to be an above-average player. Please. Please, he's one of these guys that comes in here.
He's going to get a huge contract.
He's going to be an average player.
And then he's
going
to get booed wherever he goes.
What is it that he does really, Rich? What does he do that's really good?
Well, it seems like he has a good football sense because he seems to be right in the right place at the right time. He makes big plays. I mean, he always seems to be where he needs to be. Now, that is a lot to do with coaching. It does. It has a ton to do with coaching. But you can also coach a guy that doesn't have the talent to pull it off. He does.
But if you're going to get paid a ton of money, it's because, and you play outside linebacker, what is the one thing that you excel at really well if you're a high-paid outside linebacker?
Rushing the passer.
Would you call him a dominant pass rusher?
Dominant, no. I would say that he's...
Okay, then what does he do? Football sense is just shop talk.
He was known to be a good coverage guy, and he hasn't shown
that. He has not shown that. So what does he do, Rich, that would make him a linebacker that is deserving of a big contract?
He's got good speed. He obviously, as I said, he makes good plays.
He's a team leader.
He's
definitely a disruptor.
So he has good football sense.
Yes.
But that's not why you pay a guy that kind of money. You pay outside linebackers, that are freakish athletes that can get to the quarterback.
In one-on-one situation,
you say that, but he's going to get paid.
He's going to get paid, and I said he doesn't deserve the money, and that he's going to get booed wherever he goes because he's going to be a huge bust. We all agree, correct?
Yeah,
I tend to agree with Freddie on that. I agree he's going to get overpaid.
He's going to get overpaid.
Of course he's
going to
get overpaid. But is he going to be, Fred said he won't be an above-average player.
No!
If he comes back to, let's say they move on from Hightower and they sign.
No. If he goes to another team, is he above average linebacker?
He'll be an average linebacker.
Thank you.
I think. Depends on where he goes.
Doesn't it depend on what team?
It depends on where he goes.
All right. If he goes to a team that's loaded and then he can freelance.
He goes to the Vikings, I bet you'd be a great player.
Yeah. Well, the Vikings, I don't think, are going to invest that kind of money in Kyle Van Noy. They seem to know what they're doing a little bit. Van Noy is going to go to something
Cousins,
like...
But yeah.
Put it this way. I don't see him being a Jamie Collins. Put it that way.
Jamie Collins
is a thousand times better.
He's such an athlete.
But he ended up going to the Browns. Yeah, and
he was at the Browns.
And also, he wasn't an issue. Like, Kyle Van Noy hasn't been an issue where Jamie Collins was freelancing.
Jamie Collins is a thousand times better.
Who also did not have the sense to listen to his coach and be a good soldier like Kyle Van Noy does.
You don't
That's
seem
a difference.
And you pay for that. Money. No, you don't.
You pay for someone who's not going to freelance.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
No. No, you.
So you don't pay for somebody who's dependable and makes big plays and is where he's supposed to be. You don't pay more than somebody who's been known to freelance.
No, you pay guys that have pure ability, that are just big, strong, fast,
like Von
power.
Von
you
Miller.
Yes. You don't need for them to be. If you're gonna overpay, or you're gonna pay a lot of money to a guy, it's because they win one-on-one battles. Kyle Van Noy is more of a. It's more of a system. It really is for what he's doing. He's a great player for what the Patriots do. I just think in another system, I don't think he would be as effective. I really don't.
No, but the point is...
Well, that's fair. As effective is fair.
No. Oh, Jesus, Richie.
Because it's great coaching.
A mediocre linebacker.
I mean, he was drafted in the second round. He's got talent. But I agree, Fred. We agree. We're all on the same page here. It's just he if he stayed here and shut his mouth,
if he stayed here,
he'd be really good.
Because he's playing under Belichick and he's in a system and they have a secondary that can take everything that can allow for a lot of things to go a linebacker's way. But I mean, to compare him to Jamie Collins is a freak athlete.
I'm just saying he wouldn't fail the way Jamie Collins did. Because he listens to instruction and is a teachable, he's a coachable player.
If he went to Cleveland, you'd never hear his name. If you went to Cleveland, you'd never hear his name.
That's why I mentioned Tully Bantekane.
Whose jersey's hanging on a wall here.
I know. We have a side Tully Bantekane.
How is Tully Bantekane's jersey hanging on a wall here at the Sports Hub?
Where's yours?
I think when we first...
No offense, Tully, but jeez.
Well, did you see the fake Zolak jersey where they had to turn a number upside down?
That was great. That is great.
All right, so we'll be right back with more Ted.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right. First of all, let me tell you that Ted Johnson's brought to you, or has been brought to you, by Boston's Prolotherapy, providing a short course of injections to help your body regenerate and alleviate joint pain without surgery. Only online at bostonprolotherapy.com. So, Mr. Ted Johnson, where do the Patriots? Where are they going to be in the playoff picture? Where do you think they're going to be seated?
Yeah, I think they'll stand pat where they are right now. I think the number two seed is probably where they'll end up. I don't see them losing to Buffalo. I don't see them losing to Cincinnati, and I certainly don't see them losing to where they get the Jets one more time.
Miami,
excuse me. Yeah. And so I feel like they'll stay at that number two seed and. Play the division around at home, and then that AFC Championship game is going to be the interesting one. You know, I mean, look, if they have to play Kansas City in the divisional round, that'll be something.
Yeah.
So you know that could be a game that I could see going either way. I could definitely see the Ravens game if they have to play the Ravens in Baltimore for the AFC Championship. I don't like their chances. I really do. This offense is so. I mean, last year, let me ask you this. Last year at this time, they'd lost to Miami, and if you fast forward to this Sunday, so after this week, they were had lost two in a row to Miami and then to the Steelers,
and they looked awful in both. The Miami one was demoralizing the way it ended, and the Steelers they looked awful.
But do you feel better about this year's team at this point than last year's team at the same point? Is my
I felt
question.
Pretty bad about last year's team. I have to be honest.
Yeah.
And you also looked at the road and you saw, man, they are going to have to earn it if they go to the Super Bowl. Right. And they did it. And then all of a sudden, everything changed.
Everything fell in line, though.
That Chargers game. Well, I mean,
the Texans not doing that, so they
I thought Chargers Chiefs was the toughest road to get to the Super Bowl. Like, that was tough.
And the Rams.
And the Rams. I mean,
yeah, but the Chargers. Here's the thing, Rich. The Chargers played Baltimore in wild card weekend, flew back to LA, and then had to fly. To me, that was one of the most obvious. Like,
you were saying that last year, yeah.
Like, dude, yeah. They got the Chargers by the balls because that is just a very tough to play wild card weekend against a very physical Baltimore team, and then had to fly all the way back and then fly back to the East Coast. No, they had no chance.
But they embarrassed them. But that's the thing. It's like, I mean, it was a coaching. You know, they say chess versus checkers. That's the one thing I remember most about that game.
The offense is so bad this year that you got to figure.
I mean, the offense is a lot worse this year than it was last year.
They don't have Gronk, and it makes all the difference.
Yeah, they don't have a running game. Yeah. I mean, that's the one thing they had last year was a running game. They have zero running game, and it's affecting when they get in the red zone. They can't score in the red zone. They can't score in goal-to-goal situations.
And if you had to play Kansas City and Baltimore, you figure they're going to put up, over 25 points, and can the offense match that for the Patriots? And right now that would be no. I mean, they're not a favorite in Baltimore, obviously.
No.
What's the spread, Murray, if they got Kansas City at home?
If the Patriots got Kansas City at home?
Yeah.
Probably -3 again. Yep. Pats.
So there you go.
Want to get money on both
sides. Depend on what the wrangle is.
Well, it depends on who the ref is. That's right. What do you think of the officiating before we get out of here?
It's 8-0-1.
Whatever. It sucked, right? It sucked.
It did. It sucked, and I love it. Now's the time that they want to do an overhaul and full assessment of their system right now. It's after the Patriots game. I wonder if RKK made a call to.
Well, RKK is going to be making a lot of calls, I have a feeling. All right, Ted Johnson, it's always a pleasure, sir, here every Wednesday. We will be right back. No commercials, just the headlines with, is this our final
nominee? It's our final one, our final nominee in the Brookline 911 Awards.
All right.
One of our favorites of the season.
It's my favorite. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.